Well, welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Buer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we continued on in our series we've been calling Beyond the Shallows. We've been looking at the life of Simon Peter, really looking at the gospel, looking at the good news of Jesus through the life of Simon Peter. And this Sunday, we came to what is, I think, sometimes overlooked in the scriptures. There's an article, I think the guy's name is Brian Tabb. I could be wrong on that, but he's the academic dean at Bethlehem Seminary and College, and he wrote an article on called More Than an Afterthought, Six Reasons Why the Ascension of Jesus Matters. And he noted, I think correctly in there, that rightly so much attention is given to the crucifixion and resurrection, as it should be, because that's really the crux, right? What Jesus did at the cross when he paid for our sin, and then his resurrection validates the cross, validates that, proves he is who he says he is. But then oftentimes we skip right past the ascension, him ascending back into heaven, and we go straight to Pentecost, to the coming of the Holy Spirit, or we move into Acts, you know, the works of the apostles, and into the New Testament and the letters of Paul. And we maybe skip and don't think about what's the meaning of the ascension? Why does it matter? And so we talked through that on Sunday. I offered a few things. And one of the things that I said, number two, was that if Jesus doesn't go, then the Holy Spirit doesn't come. And this is something that I think challenges us. John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus looks at his disciples and says, "It is to your advantage that I go. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." And so Jesus is looking at his disciples and he says, look, I'm about to ascend into heaven, right? This was not a one-way trip. This was a round trip. I've been sent by the Father. Now I'm returning to the Father to take up my seat at his right hand, governing the universe. And he says, that's actually going to be better. And I would imagine the disciples struggled to believe that. And that would be a question I would have for you is, do we believe that? Jesus tells them, if I go, then the Father's going to send the Holy Spirit, right? I'm going to send the Holy Spirit back to you. My Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity, right? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's now going to live inside of you, empowering you, teaching you, reminding you of everything that I said to you, leading you, guiding you. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. The Holy Spirit seals us for the day when Jesus comes home. He's the one who confirms for us that we are God's children, sanctifies us. And Jesus is saying, I mean, it really is better. The Holy Spirit's going to empower you to do what I've called you to do. And I would think the disciples struggled to think, man, we've had Jesus right here. We can talk to him whenever we need to. And he teaches us. And yet Jesus says, no, it's actually better that I go. Do we believe that? J.D. Greer wrote a book, Pastor J.D. Greer, he's a pastor at the Summit Church in North Carolina, wrote a book that I'm actually going to kind of reread. I read it a few years ago, called Jesus Continued, Why the Spirit Inside You is Better Than Jesus Beside You. Why the Spirit Inside You is Better Than Jesus Beside You. It is to our advantage that Jesus went away. And then the second thing that I want to ask is this. Maybe not a question so much as a comment. I think sometimes when we talk about the Holy Spirit, because of the way some folks have talked about the Holy Spirit, because some of the things that we've seen in the church, it can get kind of weird. And so maybe you've seen the abuse of talking about the gifts or the exercise of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and you're like, man, that just seems weird. And so you sort of veer away from it entirely, and you like, well, let's just not talk about the Holy Spirit or think about what he does in our lives. And that is such to the detriment of the church. We need, right? The Holy Spirit, again, is God, the third member of the Trinity, God in us, the Holy Spirit living in us. He is the one who, again, convicts us of sin, convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's the one who seals us. He's the one who sanctifies us. He's the one who reminds us of the words of Jesus, empowers us, gives the church gifts for the edification of the body, for building up the body, for glorifying Jesus. Like, we can't do this. We can't do this without the Holy Spirit, without without him working in us and through us. And so it's to our detriment if we ignore the activity of the Holy Spirit, if we're not asking God consistently, Father, will you, by your Holy Spirit, work in us, help us to be the men and women that you have called us to be, and being aware of the activity and influence of the Holy Spirit, and yielding more of ourselves, saying, Lord, I want to yield more of myself to just the activity and influence of the Holy Spirit in my life. And so I want to encourage you in this, and I'm encouraging myself, go back to the scriptures, right? I know that there's some mystery to this, and I know that maybe it is the conversation has gotten weird, or there's been abuse at times in the church. Maybe you've grown up in a church where, like, I just saw the abuse of these things. The correction to that is not to say I'm going to ignore the Holy Spirit, but rather I'm going to learn what the Word of God says about the Holy Spirit, so that I can walk faithfully and do this rightly, not ignore the Holy Spirit. And so I want to encourage you to go into the Gospels, right? You can look at specific chapters like John chapter 14, 15, and 16, where Jesus is talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Obviously in the book of Acts, right, when the Holy Spirit comes and empowers the believers, go into the New Testament and Paul's letters, right? He talks about the activity and the gifting of the Holy Spirit. Study those things for yourself. I would encourage you, Jesus Continued by J.D. Greer, reading through that book, so that we as believers, individually and as a church, are not ignoring the third member of the Trinity, but recognizing how it is that he works and empowers us, and walking in the gifting, the power of the Holy Spirit, because he is essential. We cannot do this. We're not designed to do this without the power of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. Let me pray for you, and then I want to encourage you to take some time to pray for yourself, and then I hope you'll join us again tomorrow on the LifePoint Drivecast. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus, your Son, to pay for our sins at the cross. Thank you for raising him from the grave on the third day. Jesus, thank you that you conquered death and hell, and you offer new life to any of us who would trust you. And then thank you, Jesus, that you ascended into heaven, and that now we have the Holy Spirit living in us, empowering us as believers to walk in faith, to persevere until the day that we are called home, or the day, Jesus, that you return. And Lord, will you help us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's movement in our lives? Thank you that you do speak to us. You are not a distant God, but you are present with us by your Spirit. And we ask that, Holy Spirit, you would empower us to be the men and women that you call us to be, to carry out the mission and fulfill the mission of making disciples of all nations, starting in our own families, in our workplaces, in our own neighborhoods. We love you, Jesus. We ask these things in your name. Amen. I want to encourage you to take some time now to pray for yourself.